Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
What time is it?
You're locked into the flagship, an Ole Miss podcast powered by College Corner.
Here we go.
One, two, three.
Get your daily Rebel sports fix at the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com.
Welcome in to another edition of the flagship AMA mailbag edition. I'm Zach Berry. Welcome back. It's been a minute. We've had the holidays, and we've had a lot going on with the transfer portal. So I figured now would be a good time as we have a brief lull in the action. And I'm sure as I say that, something will pop off either while we're recording or tomorrow. But we're here. We're going to answer some questions, and then we're also going to talk a little bit about report that Ben Garrett put out earlier today as I record this Thursday night. Notre Dame just defeated Penn State, headed to the national championship game. So I had a chance to watch the second half of that one. Great game. So the Irish will take on the winner of Ohio State, Texas in Atlanta. So, but let's get to the questions here, and then we'll obviously get to the dilemma that is Jackson Dart and Trey Harris potentially getting a waiver to come back for another year. We'll get to that after the questions. But first one from Kane Liffen says, Zach, I keep hearing this allocating resources quote. I'm not sure how much I'm buying it. We haven't really landed any big fish, particularly at positions of need. Instead, we keep getting fed multi-year guys. But even that narrative doesn't make sense because dudes can enter the portal every year if they want. No one's guaranteed to be here multiple years anymore. At what point do we throw some real money at a big fish to really give us that Walter Nolan, Princely Poo? All right, I'm picking up what you're putting down here, Kane. To answer part of that, throw some real money at big fish. So far, there haven't really been any. You know, you threw out Walter Nolan, Princey Mamiel, and Poo Paul. I think Poo Paul, the ROI on that went through the roof. He was a good player at Arkansas and played a ton, made a lot of tackles. But I think, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that he really boosted his draft stock in this year. I think just playing with Pete Golding and learning under him and really excelling in this defense really helped him. But yeah, Walter Nolan and Princey Mamiel, I mean, those were bona fide top 10 dudes in the portal that were game changers. Walter Nolan was the former number one overall player in the country. And, you know, Princey Mamiel, a ton of talent, a ton of upside, just kind of needed to find the right, you know, the right fit. And Randall Joyner and Pete Golding were the right fit. So for comparing this cycle to that cycle, there haven't really been any guys like that. I'm going to pull up the rankings here and kind of run through them. It's been like right now, Carson Beck's the number one guy. He just got in today. I think he's going to Miami. He obviously got some bad feedback, and the elbow may be worse than people thought. And I think that's part of the reason why he's getting in the portal to stay in college. John Mateer, really good player. I personally love watching him play. I watched a lot of Wazoo this year. He's a ton of fun, a great player. Eric Singleton at number three. The number was way too high. I mean, it was in the seven figures. I don't think you're doing that for a guy that's 5'11", 165. And, I mean, Ole Miss is losing Jordan Watkins, but you have Caden Lee. And I just don't think that that's – you don't pay that kind of money for a 5'11 wide receiver. And that's not – no disrespect to Eric Singleton. He's really good. He's talented. He would certainly help Ole Miss. He's going to help Auburn. But, yeah, you're not paying him that much. It was kind of weird, though, with wide receivers this year. Like, Zachariah Branch is at number 4. He's 5'10". Kevin Concepcion, number 5, 6 foot. Micah Hudson, 5'11 and a half. Barely played at Texas Tech. He's at number 6. If you want to talk big fish, right now Monroe Mills is at number 7. He got into the portal officially today, January 9th. He has a do not contact tag, I believe. He's originally from Columbia, Missouri, so I don't think it's too far-fetched to think that he could be going to Mizzou. And then after that, I mean, if you want to call it a big fish, I don't think it's a big fish because he was kind of up and down at SC, but Deuce Robinson at number 8, freak athlete, 6'6", 230. He went to Florida State. Damon Wilson, that's a big fish right there at number 9, 6'4", 230. I talked to a couple of people at Georgia, and they said that they were shocked that he got in the portal. He was essentially going to be the dude in 2025. Like, he was going to be that guy on that defense. And right now it looks like all signs are pointing for him to go to Ohio State. And then at number 10, to wrap out the transfer portal rankings, Dylan Tienemann from Purdue went to Oregon. That's a safety, 6 foot, 205. That you're not paying big money for that. Yeah, there haven't really been any big fish. There's been a lot of like former 5-star, 4-star guys that either haven't played a ton or haven't really panned out. Like Williams Wineri, that is going to Nebraska, went to Mizzou, 5-star out of high school, a ton of talent. People still think he can do it, but he barely, you know, made a blip on the radar at Mizzou. Dane Key. I would say that was – I wouldn't call him a big fish, but he was up there. Ole Miss had a shot. Georgia had a shot. And he ends up at Nebraska. At one point, people thought he might just go back to Kentucky. You go to 15 right there at Prince William Omiyelen. That's a dude. 4-star, 6'4", 245. You know, the box score is not going to jump out at you, but he shows he's a lot like his brother. Made plays here and there, didn't wow you with the stats, but there's a ton to like. You've got the frame and the skill set is there. I think you get him working with Randall Joyner and Lou Spanos, and he's going to really see his game change. You go a little bit further down, and I mean, there's really not a ton. Like right now, I think Thaddeus Dixon at 31 is a steal, 6 foot, 205. He's your Trey Amos replacement. He's scheduled to visit Ole Miss this weekend. That's your guy. With Michael Coates going to West Virginia, who was supposed to be coming into town this weekend, didn't. He just told me he wasn't visiting. He was going to West Virginia. I had a pick in for Ole Miss. It seemed like all signs were pointing to Ole Miss. And as soon as that happens, obviously, you know, flip the pick. He's going to go to West Virginia and then he commits. I think, you know, like Justice Haynes is a great example of a guy that was highly rated but hasn't really proven it. You know, Ole Miss had their shot, didn't get him. On the flip side, a dude that was not highly touted at all but now is, you know, in the top 30, Emmanuel Pregnan, the interior offensive lineman from SC. He's got Oregon and Tennessee coming after him. Ole Miss is you know, obviously going to try to figure out a way to get him to campus. But, yeah, right now, I mean, Ole Miss has the number 3 transfer portal class, so it's not like they're just a bunch of bums out there. They've got some really good pieces, and I think that the allocating resources thing is not spin or a deflection from, you know, some of the guys that visited that didn't end up picking Ole Miss. I think that, again, Ole Miss is sticking to – they have a number for each position, they have a value next to it, and they're going to stick to it because I think last year got burned on a couple. You know, it's no secret that Juice Wells was paid pretty handsomely and didn't really perform. There's been a couple other guys in the last couple of years. So I think Ole Miss is trying to stick to its guns and be disciplined when it comes to, you know, paying for guys that are out of the portal. Ole Miss Rev 10, next three portal commits. Let's see. I'm trying to think. I mean, I think Ole Miss has a really good shot at Ben Bell. Don't really know if he's taking any more visits or not yet, but I think Ole Miss has a good shot with Ben Bell. I think if Thaddeus Dixon shows up this weekend, I think Ole Miss is really going to I'm not going to say they're going to press him to commit or you know, pressure him, but they're going to put on the full court press to get him and to replace Trey Amos because he's a legit guy that can do that. I mean, that's probably the biggest target. I mean, if you made me pick anyone else, I would say probably looking at you know, one of the NC State corners, one of the NC State defensive backs. I think like Brandon Cisse. Kiffin went to Sumter, South Carolina today to see him. So they really want to get difference makers in the secondary. And I think that could be one. So yeah, I would say Ben Bell, Cisse, and Thaddeus Dixon. How many more offensive linemen will Ole Miss get in the portal? Again, they're not just gonna grab guys just to grab them. So it's going to be a process, and they're going to evaluate who's available and they're going to see if they're a good fit. I mean, right now you look at some of the offensive tackles that are in. I mentioned Mills earlier. He's got the do not contact tag. I mean, there's not a ton out there as far as, offensive tackles. I mean, Connor Moore just got in from Montana State. I mean, that's kind of it right now. Everybody else is already picked somewhere. I mean, I think Ole Miss has done a really good job on the interior. I mean, they got Patrick Kudus is the number two interior offensive lineman in the portal. And then they get Delano Townsend, and he's a top 12, top 13 guy. So, I mean, I think you have to like what Ole Miss has coming back up front with Diego Pounds, Jaden Williams, and some of the other younger pieces that Ole Miss expects to step up, like Bryson Sanders. I think he's going to be a big part of the offensive line next year. And then you plug and play the other these two new guys, and then PJ Wilkins, the other guy from Charlotte. So yeah, I mean, again, they're not gonna force the issue and just grab an offensive lineman just to grab them. This anonymous account with a bunch of numbers is asking, how does Ole Miss look in the class of 2026? I mean, it's really, really, really early, so it's kind of hard to tell right now. But I mean, I think they've got some inroads on a couple guys. I think Tristan Keys is this cycle's Caleb Cunningham. Nationally, he's going to get a lot of buzz about other places. Tennessee, Texas A&M, LSU. I don't see how Lane Kiffin lets him get away. He's the number seven player nationally, number two wide receiver in the country, and he's the number one player in Mississippi. Ole Miss is going to try to keep that streak going of getting the top guy in the state. And then same goes for Xavier McDonald, another wide receiver, top 75 prospect. Ole Miss is in a good spot there. But then going down the list, I think there are going to be a lot of dudes they're going to evaluate throughout the spring and the summer, and then see how the senior tape looks. Nolan Wilson's an interesting one, kind of a tweener, 6'4", 237. I think Ole Miss is in that one with Alabama. I think one guy that I've been high on since I saw him a couple of years ago, Preston Ashley, the defensive back from Brandon. He's a double legacy to Ole Miss. I think the Rebels are in a good spot there. Amari Johnson's another wideout from Jackson Academy. Donnell Robinson's a lineman from Holmes County. Ole Miss was able to get Cortez Thomas this year from Holmes County. Typically not an Ole Miss friendly school. And then a couple other guys down the list. TJ White, the linebacker from Jackson Academy. Auburn's trying to get him. Ole Miss is in a good spot there. Tyler Matthews from Lake Cormorant. 2 years in a row, Ole Miss has gotten Cam Franklin. Then they get Jarkobi Hobson. Tyler Matthews could be next up from Lake Cormorant to pick Ole Miss. And again, you know, Jaden Hill committed to Mississippi State, but Ole Miss is still plugging away. He tells me that Ole Miss is staying on him and still talking to him. Kevin Smith went to see him this week. So Ole Miss is going to continue to plug away there. And I think they're going to have a good shot when it's all said and done. It's going to be tough to flip him away from Mississippi State. We'll see how long he stays committed. But, you know, he could be someone that starts to get a lot of national buzz and reopens things. Or, you know, kind of like what Caleb Cunningham did. He might just stay committed to Mississippi State and just take some visits and see what all's out there. JD124, who do you predict is next to join Ole Miss in the 2026 recruiting class? Ooh, that's a good question. Let's see. I can pull up kind of a list of the top offers out there. Quarterbacks are typically prospects that decide early because they want to build around for their class. So I don't know if you see a quarterback going super early. Like Luke Faye from Mission Viejo out in California. I think he at one point was wanting to do it early, but I think he's going to kind of take his time. I know Ole Miss really likes, you know, obviously Jared Curtis, number 4 player in the country, 5-star. Ryder Lyons, 5-star, number 10 player in the country. Those are the two top dogs. And then I really like Jake Fetty from El Paso, Texas. He's committed to Arizona State, but he's starting to really generate some buzz. Landon Duckworth from Alabama. Was coming to South Carolina, reopened his recruitment. I mentioned Fahey. And then kind of going down the list here, that's probably it at quarterback. But it's a tough one to put me on the spot for who could potentially join next. A lot of times it's some in-state guys. A lot of times in-state guys want to get it done. If you remember, you know, like Suntarian Perkins did it pretty quick right before his senior year, and Ole Miss held on. Wow, that's a tough one because a lot of the in-state guys, I think, are gonna.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in / promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
We're going to take their time and you know, kind of see what's out there. I don't know. I'll go out on a limb here and I think I'll say maybe Yaha Gad, defensive lineman from South Gibson in Tennessee. He was actually just in Oxford this week and a former teammate of Cam Clark, who signed with Ole Miss a couple cycles ago. Monster player, 6'5", 260. Really starting to get some big-time offers. He was going to commit in January and decided to hold off. I think Ole Miss is in a good spot there because of the early offer that was extended before he blew up. So keep an eye on him, you know, pushing the decision back a little bit. That was interesting. I kind of thought that once he got the Georgia offer, it was kind of all signs, you know, potentially pointing to Georgia. That's a, you know, that's a big deal, get an offer from Georgia. We got a question about rotation on the offensive line. It's for me and Ben, so I'll wait, and Ben and I will do that on a podcast where we can discuss that together. Let's see. Let's change gears up here. D Hammock 76, the next big test for the basketball, for the men's basketball team is at Alabama. Do you think Ole Miss has a chance? I think Ole Miss certainly has a chance. I mean, it's going to be tough. Alabama's really, really good, really talented. I mean, they're getting some good stuff from LeBaron Fillon as a true freshman. The Nate Oates teams are usually really, really athletic and long, and they really attack you in transition, and they shoot a lot of threes. So Ole Miss is going to have its work cut out for them. They're going to have to play good defense. And sure, Ole Miss has a chance. I mean, I think Ole Miss is a good team. Just road wins in the SEC are tough. Ole Miss got a big one this week going to Arkansas. You know, I kind of – a lot of John Calipari teams of late were, you know, they seem to, you know, kind of figure themselves out early. And then, you know, if they're going to hit their stride, it's going to be late in the year. So we'll see what Arkansas looks like in the next month or so. But nevertheless, big win to go to Bud Walton and win on the road. The quarterback plan, this is for from all four Rebs. The quarterback plan, who is going to be QB2 and will there be any more experienced quarterbacks visit? I mean, right now it's kind of up in the air and we'll get to it. I don't think Dart's coming back. That's just my opinion. I haven't talked to anyone. I think personally it would be a bad decision. And we'll kind of get into it here in a moment. But right now, I think Ole Miss is looking to add a 2025 quarterback to add to that room. And then I honestly think you're going to go into the spring with, you know, AJ Maddox as the number two guy. And then potentially look to reevaluate in the spring to see who's available. I know Chuck threw out Pierce Clarkson earlier today as a potential name for Ole Miss. It, you know, makes sense. Young guy, hasn't played a lot, but a lot to like, a really good quarterback, a lot of talent. So that would be somebody that you could add to the room to push Austin Simmons. All right, keep it going here. Poopy Dukes is asking, we're all aware the staff has really fumbled the bag regarding the whole running back situation. Who do you think they end up signing at running back? Are there even any guys in the position left in the portal worth taking? Yeah, there's some guys in the portal worth taking. I do think they're probably going to make a run at one of the junior college guys, Trey Hall. I think Ole Miss is in a good spot there. I think they can certainly pick him up. I think that would be a good get. And then kind of looking at some of these recent additions to the portal that I think would make a lot of sense, like Scott Ree Humphrey from Montana State, I think would be a good pickup. He was an All-American at the FCS level, over 1,000 yards. I think that somebody like Jordan Simmons makes a ton of sense. He's older, big, physical. He played a lot of football at Michigan State and then had a good year at Akron. I think that would make a lot of sense. TJ Harden's the one that I think is, if he takes a visit, that's one to keep an eye on as a potential, you know, almost commit on the spot type guy. 6'2", 215, was really good as a freshman. He's a big physical guy that I think that Ole Miss could certainly use to go along with everybody else that's in the room. So, yeah, there's some guys out in the portal you could certainly get. River Rat 5, over under 8.5 wins for Ole Miss next year. I'm going over. I do think Austin Simmons is going to be very good. I think the offensive line will be better. I think the defense is not going to be nearly as good as it was this year because, I mean, honestly, I don't that would be incredible if Ole Miss was as good defensively as it was in 2024. I mean, arguably the best defense I've ever seen Ole Miss have in my almost 36 years on this planet. But I'm going over. I think the schedule is good. You get some good games at home. I think Simmons is going to be really good. I think the pieces on offense are going to really help. He's got some experienced guys to throw to, and I do think the running backs are going to be a lot better than people think. I know that they're not flashy. You're not getting some big names, but I do think Ole Miss can get over 8.5. Honestly, I mean, I think the floor is definitely 9-3 for Ole Miss. I mean, I think that would be crazy to say it's not because of how Kiffin has built this program up over the last couple of years. I think they're shooting for that 9-3 or better every year. Johnny Rebel asked for any names to replace DJ Mann. Honestly, I don't know. That'll probably be something that the staff works out down the road. Mississippi Muddy make a run at Ty Haywood. I haven't heard anything. It seems like it's Michigan right now. I know there's some other teams trying to make a run at him. Ole Miss has not gotten in that conversation yet. Matt Smith wants to know, rate these players from most likely to least likely to sign with Ole Miss using a scale of 1 to 10. Ben Bell, I'd probably put it like a 6.5. Landon Locke, I'd put it like an 8. Jordan Simmons, like a 5 or 6. And then Thaddeus Dixon, I'd say, without knowing if he shows up or not, I'd put him at about a 6, 7 maybe, because I think Ole Miss is going to really try to get him to campus and make sure that he takes the visit because they really want to take a big swing at that one. Somebody's asking about Jaden Williams. Is there more surgery coming? I don't know. I don't know about him having any more surgeries. I haven't heard anything about that. What are you hearing regarding current Ole Miss football returning players and being signed to NIL locked in? If they're not in the portal, they're locked in as far as I know. I don't see anyone else right now. Definitely not somebody that is a contributor getting in the portal. Last one here. Who would you say Ole Miss goes after the hardest in the 2026 quarterback class? Feels really important to this cycle. We talked about Ryder Lyons, Jared Curtis. I don't know. I think probably out of those two, I think you're going to go Ryder Lyons. Curtis is going to be expensive, and spending like that on a high school quarterback, in my opinion, is risky. And I think right now Lyons is a little more receptive to Ole Miss than Curtis, but they're certainly going to try for both. But yeah, I would say for sure Ryder Lyons is one they're going to push hard for. That would probably be number one for me. And then one that I really like, Keyshawn Henderson. He's listed as an athlete. He's committed to Houston, but a freak athlete that can really run, and he throws the ball really well for, you know, a quote athlete. He's a quarterback. He looks like a quarterback. He would fit kind of the what Kiffin's kind of gone for lately with like a big physical guy that can move and can run. Then after him, I'd probably say Jake Feedy from El Paso. That's probably your three right there. Those guys are all freaks and can really spin it and are really good athletes. All right, that'll do it for the AMA. So let's get into the conversation about Jackson Dart and Trey Harris. Ben Garrett reported earlier today that he's heard rumors that both are pursuing an additional year. They would have to have a waiver, so that has to happen. But in my opinion, I think Jackson Dart would be foolish to go back to college. I mean, I think this is a really soft quarterback class. Kiper has them at number 3 right now. I mean, you go out and have a really good pro day, and I think Jackson Dart's going to be a guy that's going to do well in the interview room. He's going to be impressive to talk to. He's got a really infectious personality. He's easy to like. I just think he'll do well in that setting. He's done a lot of media over the years, so he's used to it. And I honestly just don't think that his stock can get much higher. There's no guarantee. You don't know what the quarterback, draft class will look like next year. And like, I don't really think Dart coming back and getting to the college football playoff or winning the SEC or winning a national title, I don't think that's going to really change his stock. I think he's as high as he's ever going to be right now. You know, I mean, I guess you could make the argument, well, if he comes back and he breaks all the records and Ole Miss goes to the college football playoff and, you know, either, you know, makes a title game or whatever, makes the Final Four, you know, maybe depending on the draft class, he gets up to, you know, first round. But I don't know. I think he's in a really good spot right now and he's healthy. You know, in the bowl game, he wasn't wearing the ankle brace. He looked fine. He was moving around well. I mean, you obviously you run that risk. You come back, you get hurt. I don't know. That's just my opinion. I mean, I think he needs to go pro. I think he's done literally and figuratively done just about everything you can do as a quarterback at Ole Miss. He's broken just about every record that matters outside of touchdown passes, which I don't know if anyone will catch Eli Manning with 81. But I mean, Dart, you know, set just about every record. And look, he didn't go to the playoff, but he's the winningest quarterback in program history. And again, I just don't think coming back to college is really going to do anything to boost him even more. I think scouts like him. Scouts like that he played in the bowl game. He obviously played really well. I mean, I think that he really showed flashes in a lot of games that he can make the throws. He's tough. You know, he's big. You know, the frame is certainly NFL ready. Trey Harris, on the other hand, this is where it gets interesting. You know, I was talking to a couple former players, former college guys earlier today, and one of them said that, you know, they could see that Trey Harris was told, hey, you need to stay and you'll get drafted higher. You know, obviously everybody knows about the skill set, the talent and all of that, but, you know, he got hurt. And I mean, he was certainly on pace to, you know, probably break a lot of records at Ole Miss and probably easily win the Biletnikoff. And, you know, he gets hurt and misses time and then ends up, you know, doesn't really play down the stretch. He's kind of in a similar spot that he was a year ago. That was, you know, we had that conversation with a couple former players about that, where, you know, he put up the gaudy numbers, but he's kind of in that same spot. So it could be advantageous to him and to Ole Miss if he were to return, because, man, you want to talk about adding somebody to really help bridge from Dart to Simmons. If you bring a guy like Trey Harris back for 2025, I mean, that's really going to help Austin Simmons settle in. And you're bringing in Dejon Stribling, Caleb Odom, Deuce Alexander, Traylon Ray, you know, Caden Lee's coming back, and then you got Daquan Wright, Luke Haas. They get the Trace Brookley kid today. I mean, you got a lot of pieces there. You know, how's the offensive line going to look? You know, I mean, that helps a lot to have number nine over there where you can just, you know, kind of throw it up for a jump ball, or you kind of know he's going to be, you know, on that over route. He's going to be coming across the middle. You know, you can find him and throw it and he'll catch it. So, yeah, I mean, out of the two, I would say Dart needs to go pro. And I think Trey Harris could definitely benefit from coming back. You know, he can be a guy that could easily see his stock go into the first round if he were to come back to Ole Miss and have a breakout year, stay healthy, and really boost his stock. So that's kind of where you're betting on yourself with that, where, you know, you've seen a lot of mock drafts that have Trey Harris going early, going in the, you know, top three, four rounds. But you come back, you show out, and then you can make some first round money. So that's a big difference. Yeah, we'll see. Probably going to find something out in the next week or two in terms of waivers and, you know, will it happen? Will it won't, you know, it won't happen. Just my opinion, man, I think Dart needs to go pro. Again, I think the year he had and the production, even with the banged up ankle, he was able to do what he did, you know, most passing yards in the season ever. You know, he broke all the records and, you know, went out on a high note. You know, his last pass as an Ole Miss Rebel right now was a touchdown to Jordan Watkins. So you can't really ride any better than that outside of going to the college football playoff. So, you know, Dart's a competitor. You know, I'm sure it eats at him to watch, you know, these games right now where he's not out there playing. But yeah, I think Dart should stay in the draft. You know, he's accepted the invite to the Senior Bowl. Go down to Mobile, you know, show out in practice, look good in the game in front of all those GMs and scouts, and do yourself a favor and really boost that stock. I mean, you're right now, you're number three per Mel Kiper. You have a really good pro day and you look good at the Senior Bowl. You know, you could jump up, get above Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders. So, I think Dart should stay in the draft. And I don't think it would be a terrible idea for Trey Harris to come back. I know you don't talk about competitors. He's the same way. You know, it killed him. He wasn't able to play down the stretch. He really wanted to help his teammates and play in those games, but he wasn't able to. So that's just my opinion. We'll find out something here in the next week or so with those two. But, yeah, I think Dart should go pro. I think it's better for him to strike while the iron's hot. His stock is super high. And I think that's best for him. And then, yeah, I think Trey Harris could absolutely benefit from coming back to Ole Miss. I know that, yeah, I said there's a risk of Dart getting hurt. Sure, there's a risk of Trey Harris getting hurt. But, you know, if you come back and play a full season and do anything remotely close to what you did this year on the field, and people are going to jump out of their seats, and I think that stock is going to go way up. So appreciate everybody sending their questions in. Thanks to everybody on the message board. Thanks to everybody that's tuning in, whether you're Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, whatever. We appreciate you. Shout out to our friends at College Corner, Roback, Home Field Apparel. Again, promo code LASTDANCE24, 15% off. Roback, you can use promo code JUICE and get 20% off. And our good friends at College Corner, three locations, Oxford, Ridgeland, Flowood. Go check them out at all three. And scoop up some Ole Miss swag for the new year. So that's going to do it for this edition of the Flagship. Appreciate everybody. We will be back next week. Until then, we out of here.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in / promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.